couple weeks ago, I was going on a prayer walk with Bless. If you know me, my typical thing is, hi, let's go for a walk and talk, because I think much better on my feet. I'm sorry for those of you who would prefer to sit, but thank you. And so I regularly go on prayer walks with all the ministers here, with Bob and Bless and Derek. And not long ago, I was on a prayer walk with Bless, Pastor Bless. And I asked him this question. What do pastors do? What's the goal of pastoral ministry? And you know, are we program administrators? Are we people who run programs? Are we people who marry and bury? Are we people who do child dedications? What is it we do? And I was delighted, because Pastor Bless sat, and as we walked, he thought, and he said, you know, we lead people closer to God. And my heart soared, because this is what we do. We try and lead people closer to God, gifted by the Spirit to bring people closer to God. We're shepherds, we're under shepherds who bring people closer to the great shepherd. And that's the goal of our ministry, is to bring people closer to God or open up their understanding so that His love might transform them. We're not there to just tell people what to do. Our goal is to bring you to the living God so you can touch Him. You know, when you touch Jesus, when people touch Jesus, dead people came to life, dead limbs started to work again. That's the goal of pastoral ministry. God changing people as they're brought closer to Him. But I want to make an observation here. So the question is, who are the ministers here? This is an Old Testament. Who ministers to who? Is it Pat and Bob and Bless and Frank and Derek and Alyssa and Travis? Are we the only ministers here? No. But you know, the way that we do church, this actual setup that happens on Sunday morning, tends to breed that idea, doesn't it? Because we stand up here, and you sit in pews or chairs relatively passively, right? You sit there, and I talk, and it's very much like school, right? There's the person with the authority, the anointed leader, doing something, and I'm the one doing ministry to you. And that's absolutely not what God's vision for the church is. It has its place and means, but the ministers in the church are you and me. We are... Can you advance it for me, Rob? We're a family. And we all have gifts given by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to give strength to one another. Amen? But I don't, and that's the trouble, is because here I am, I'm talking, dominating, you're looking at me, and so I'm the one ministering to you, or so it seems. And we often, when we say church, most of us think, oh yeah, that time I go and sit in a pew for an hour, or an hour and a half if Frank really can't stop himself. And he does something to me. Or he says something, or Carl leads the music, or Pastor Bob, or Bless, or someone else preaches. But God has, by His Holy Spirit, meant for us to be interdependent, that I need you as much as you need me. Amen? So when we say church, we think of this hour and a half, but for me, you know, the most exciting part of church is just as much before, and you'll notice me, I'm like a scattering chipmunk, I want to say hi to everybody, and after the service, when we're drinking coffee, and we call coffee fellowship, but what coffee does, it puts a coffee in a hand, and it gives, makes people feel comfortable enough to stand around and talk to each other, yes? But after the service, when you're talking to me, when Steve talks to me and gushes with enthusiasm, or Aaron and Nathan, or when I meet Washi, the Holy Spirit ministers to me. It's one of the reasons why Living Hope was founded around the idea of cell church, small church. And you know, when you get together on a church meeting at a Bible study, you sit in a circle, right? And you look at each other. So, say Shannon might be leading, But what she's doing is tossing the ball out there so others can minister to one another. I so want to break us of it. I'm reading books and thinking about it, but that's what happens Sunday morning. I go to church, and someone talks to me, and I don't do much. But the church is meant to be interactive. I need you, Jaden. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am when you talk about what God's doing in your life. Or Colton, to see the spiritual development in his life. Or to see Sirius so, and how, thank you, brother, how willingly he serves children, ministry, and other, and we're built up together. I hope I'm not laboring on, but the way we do church has certain implications. When we do it this way, sometimes people ask, how's your church? And really the answer is, was my pastor really exciting? And that's kind of crummy. Because I need you, Matthew Rempel. I need the Holy Spirit gifts that God has put in you to make me strong. You too, Nathan. Thought I was just getting a Rempel. I'm not leaving the Federos out of this. And when I see Bernard on Sunday morning, my spirit soars. He's in my Bible study. I have to tell you, plug about my Bible study. It's the Bible study of strong personalities. Yoshu is in it. Yoshu over there, wave your hands, Yoshu. Yeah. He's not afraid to stand up to me or Bernard or Sylvester or Pastor Paul and Duque, and we sharpen one another, and it's the most diverse Bible study I've ever been in. St. Kim is not here right now, but Kim Fedoric is in there as well. But we minister to one another, and that's why we do small groups. And let me say, I know some of you work shift works, and it's tough for you to get there, but the KRG, or the groups that Mr. Thane leads, are meant so that we can actually be church. Church ain't this building. It ain't just this gathering on Sunday mornings. It's us, filled with the Holy Spirit, pouring out Jesus' love to one another. Yes? Amen? Okay, thank you. I kind of was hanging out for that one. You know, if you read the book of 1 Corinthians, he's very clear that when you gather on Sunday mornings, and I struggle with this because we're not used to it, but it says each of you has a hymn or a song or a word or a prophecy or a prayer. We're supposed to do that. We do it twice a year on Sharing Sundays, right, Cheryl Heinrichs? But she's waiting for it to burst out as I am at all times. So if you have a word from God, maybe we'll get uncomfortable with that and hear about it. Okay, that's just Frank's preface rant. I'm actually going to just do a portion of my message today, which I consider a gift for you, as it was for me. What's that? Is it going to turn into a series? And did you have a word for us, Pastor Derek? Is it doing a portion as a gift for us? Yes, it's doing a portion as a gift for us. It's hot in here, and I will bless you by the gift of briefness. The soul of wit is brevity, is it not, Lawrence McAllister? What I want to give you is a skill or gift in interacting with God so he can speak to you and his spirit can nourish you. Because I think sometimes we aren't sure how to do prayer or how to feed ourselves, and yet the Lord has said, I am your life. And I want to give you a method that was given to me, and it's 1,000 years old at least, at seminary and then with a spiritual director. I see a Mennonite fellow out in Abbotsford. I've been seeing him for 10 years. He's a spiritual director. Fancy word, it means someone who helps you understand that God loves you. Helps you pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And it's a type of prayer or way of reading the Bible. And it's not rocket science, but it's based on the idea that God speaks to us and that God speaks to us clearly through the scriptures, the words recorded in the Bible. Now, a few notes about what we're going to do. If God is speaking to you, one, he will never contradict the other scriptures. God is not going to say to you, you should go rob a bank. I want you to do this. It will, you know, Bible says don't steal, so he won't steal. So if he's speaking to you through the scriptures, it won't contradict the overall message of the Bible. If God's speaking to you through the scriptures, it will bring honor to Jesus Christ. It will focus on God. And if God's speaking you to the Scriptures through the Bible, it should pass the wisdom test of other Christians who are wise in the Bible. So, that said, what I'm going to teach you is called meditative prayer. The Latin name for it that was known for 1,000 years is Lectio Divina, which simply means divine reading. It's a way of hearing God speak to you through the words of Scripture. Now, I've put the insert on how to do this in your bulletin. So open your bulletins, take out that white piece of paper. It's written in Quran on one side, English on the other. If you don't have one of those, please raise your hand. Our Jaden and Mary, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, will hand you a copy of that. So if you need a copy of this, please put your hands up. Jaden, Mary will wander around. if you don't have one, your bulletin. Hands up, let them know. I see some at the back. Hey, Baishogay, they're coming. Do you have a copy? Did you get right at the very back corner there, Mary, too? Baishogay, hold your hand high. Okay, this might seem a bit different, because what I want to happen is for you to learn a new way of hearing God's voice just for you. So I'm going to read. You got the piece of paper there. I'm going to read where it starts, meditative prayer. And I'm just going to read it out loud, and you can follow along with me. Recall for a few minutes what it felt like to receive a love letter. How did you respond to actually getting that love letter? In meditative prayer, you approach scripture passage you're meditating on like receiving a love letter, because that's what it really is. I received love letters from Cheryl when I was at Bible college in Portland, and she was thinking I was going to break up with her, which I was going to do.
You already broke up with me.
Oh, okay. Well, for the second or third time. But I received these letters from Cheryl, and they so revealed the character of who she was. I remember at my mailbox at Bible college, and I was, you know, determined to be done with Cheryl, and I read this letter, and I just went, ugh! And I dropped it on the ground, because I thought, I love that person. What do I do? She just so reveals herself and touches my heart. That's what it's meant to be like, in a way, when you read the Bible. It's a letter from God to you. He's revealing himself to you. It reveals Jesus Christ. Carrying on in the next paragraph. Contrary to our general impression, meditation is not study, it's not an intellectual exercise, and it is not analyzing. All those things are incredibly important and need to be done in regular study of the Bible. But this way, it's not. The process of meditative prayer is more like ruminating. That means ruminating is what cows do. They chew on their cud. Nom, nom, nom. Absorbing, permeating, letting it go through your spirit, receiving the revealed words of God. In a way, meditative prayer does not take a lot of hard work, but is a sort of passive type of prayer where you're allowing the Spirit of Jesus to enliven the words of Scripture to you. The tricky, more difficult part of meditative prayer is that it requires a heart response to what God is saying to you. Remember, the words of Scripture you are reading are the actual words of the risen, living Word made flesh spoken directly to you. The risen, living Word made flesh, that's Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. They are your present reality. So I'm going to give you a demonstration, and Pastor Bless will probably pass on the second reading today for the sake of time. So here we go. It's method. So what you do is you read the scripture passage aloud and slowly. And I will use the scripture, and I will do it right now, the Matthew 11, 28 to 30 passage. I'm going to read it slowly. Let it sink into you as I read it. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Hear the words addressed to you personally at this moment. Let the words soak into your being. Savor them. Stay with a particular word or phrase or idea or image or symbol that catches your attention. Allow it to awaken a response in you and come alive to you. You may want to respond to questions like, "How is my life touched by this?" Or, "Is there an invitation from God to me in these words? Is there a gift for me from Jesus Christ in these words?" Read the passage again aloud, slowly. This is Jesus, my friends. He is speaking to you. Everybody who has ever become a Christian was spoken to by Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, by the Father's Spirit calling you. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." My friends, I'm actually going to ask you to do something, and we're nearing the end. Look at those words. Ask yourself, what is God saying to me in this? Continue to be attentive to your inner responses, such as attitude changes, feelings, desires, resistances, longings, fears, doubts, or whatever else that surfaces. Can I tell you, when I read this, I've almost not been able to get past the first sentence. Come to me. That is Jesus speaking directly now to me and to you. Come to me. Come to me, Jaden. He knows you. 2,000 years ago, when he was here on earth, our infinite God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, knew you. He made you. And he is calling you. He's calling Jaden. He's calling me, Frank. all you who are weary and burdened. I don't know about you, but I feel weary and burdened. So Jesus is calling me. He knows I'm tired. These are some of the responses that come up in me. What I would like you to do is sit with this passage for a moment. I'll give you about 2 or 3 minutes. It will seem very long, but at Living Hope, we're good with awkward silences. And allow the words of God. Read it again, quietly. And then I'd ask, after that's happened, I'll say, turn to a neighbor, if you're comfortable, and say, this is what God spoke to me through this passage. And then we'll nearly be at the end. So take a few minutes. Read it over slowly. You can mumble it or do it out loud. And then I'll give you a call and you can share it with a neighbor if you are comfortable with that. Spend a moment, if you have the courage and are sitting next to someone you feel you'd like to, and say what you sense the Spirit speaking to you through this passage. And then I'll call us together in a moment or two. It's a little bit different, isn't it? What we're generally used to is someone trying to be fascinating and interesting. I shouldn't say trying, but one person giving out to us. And if I could give you any gift, is that you would be able to be fed directly by the shepherd himself, by his Holy Spirit, so that we can feed each other. It's not all dependent on me or Bob or Bless. We're dependent on Jesus Christ. May I ask you, and this will be the last thing we do, and I'll ask the worship team to come up. Is anybody, would you share with us what Jesus has spoken to you in this time? Steve?
Well, I hear there Jesus saying, come to me, let me teach you. Okay? We all need to learn how to find rest and peace in our souls. We need Jesus to teach us this. He's the greatest teacher of all, and I think that's the most important thing in life is let Jesus teach us how to find this rest and peace within ourselves.
Someone else? That you're bold enough. Aaron, did you have something? Do you want to stand and just, if you're comfortable using your big, your lifeguard voice?
Yeah, sure. No, my lifeguard voice sounds mean. It's like, no running. I actually latched on to the part just after the passage that Steve here latched on to. Just all of you who are weary, carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And to me, that sounds like to give to God what I'm focusing on myself and what I'm trying to fix on my own, and sort of the things that I'm like, this is not a big enough problem for God. I can do this all on my own and it's not working. And so I think it's God telling me, instead of trying to carry that on my own, I should be giving that to him.
Amen. This is what he can do through the scriptures, through revealing himself. Anybody else? Janet, can I get you? Can I force you to, and use your school teacher voice?
Sometimes. The last verse really spoke to me. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.
Yes.
I feel like God is saying, what I give you is different. My expectations are different from what the world is expecting. And you need to remember that. You need to focus on what I want you to carry and not what the world is telling you to carry. They're not the same. And I think the challenge is to see the difference. And I think we do that through prayer and growing closer to him. What is it that God wants us to take on? Right? Because he says, my yoke is easy to bear and my burden I give you is. So if we're feeling crushed by something, it's not from God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Do you see what's happening here? God is meant to speak to each of us for one another. Amen. A final one. And Carla, if you guys can make your way, but does someone have a final word that they spoke? And I recognize sometimes it's more difficult for other brothers and sisters to speak. But if you do, anybody have a final word? Who said that? God loves you. Yes! Faith has got it. Amen. Thank you, Faith. What I have for you, too, and I'm sorry these I have not translated into Karen, but if you would like some good starter scriptures to meditatively pray on, please see me afterwards. I've got a two-sided page here of good starters. Carla, Desiree, and Lyle, bless us with your gifts.